Oh, it is a special week on the Shutdown Fullcast, the most disorganized and yet powerful college football podcast in all of America. A particularly potent week of mockery awaiting because this is a week when Notre Dame lost a football game.
Notre Dame did not lose a football game. That's what they want you to think. Don't listen to them.
Let me.
I got the real stuff. I've subscribed to underground newsletters. They're literally under the ground. They got the real dirt.
Let me tell y'all something. ACC, what does that stand for? That's right. American Chemistry Council.
Mm-hmm.
What is chemistry about? Messing with the drinking water. And what are they putting in the drinking water? Seminoles.
That's
do
right.
The math. Do the math.
Do the math. Do the physics.
Can mm-hmm. I go ahead and just, can I go ahead and twist this for you? Okay.
Yeah.
Notre Dame, where do they play this week in a loss? They played in the state of what?
Florida.
That's right.
What's in the water?
Fluoride.
Uh-huh.
What is that process called?
Fluoridation.
Mm-hmm. It ain't pass interference if you run blocking on a pass play.
I mean, if you're thinking about neurons passing signals in a healthy way, the fluoride interferes with that, does it not?
Have we?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? Have you ever looked into this? It's right on John Swofford's resume. Okay. It says, got a degree from who? The Bilderberg Group.
Mm.
Go ahead and look. Okay.
Uh-huh. If you look right now, it's probably gone because they probably heard us saying this. And that's why they're at our door right now. Mm-hmm. Like in that Killer Mike song.
Yeah.
Where he reads the Iran-Contra like Wikipedia page and the government shoots him.
They're afraid of us knowing too much. Consider this too. Lou Holtz, okay? What exotic human quasi-race does he most resemble? That's right, a gnome.
Oh, I was going to say a woodchuck.
I was thinking elf.
Elf, no, gnome, okay? As in the gnomes of Zurich, commonly thought to be a figurative term for the cabal of bankers that run the international banking system from Switzerland.
And you know where the ACC plays its title game?
Zurich.
Mm-hmm. Also,
Zurich, North Carolina.
Bank of America Stadium, Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. Oh, see? This all ties together.
You know what else ACC could stand for? Archbishop of Canterbury.
Conference.
And you know what he represents? The Anglican Church. And you know what the Anglican Church hates? Catholics.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what the Anglican Church can do, though?
Pass?
I'm pretty sure they can pass in the red zone.
Ooh, man.
Yeah.
And well, and what the other thing they don't want you to know about that the big media is withholding from you and that they're airing only at the Bohemian Grove is the footage of that FSU player taking off his helmet after the play. If you're going to call one of the rules, shouldn't you call an entire game perfectly or otherwise the whole game is moot and you have to replay it whenever I want you to play it so that Notre Dame can win? Because I prefer it when Notre Dame wins and that makes me feel good.
If he took off his helmet, why was he even in the game?
Yeah. Was he? Was he in the game? Were any FSU players in the game? Have you seen any documentation that a single FSU player made it to that game? Who were those men in those red shirts and the purple face masks? Because they haven't figured out the right color of red for their face masks yet. And their
red
helmets
shirts,
are still khaki.
Mm-hmm. Red shirts like the red coats that the British wore when they fought America.
Yeah. This isn't a new thing. This has been 200 plus years in the making. All leading up to this game. Additionally,
thanks, Templars.
I offer you this. Okay? I offer you this. Jameis Winston, down the stretch. What did he go against the Blitz? I believe he went 10 of 12 against the Blitz. I believe you would call that kind of performance superhuman.
Little fishy.
As in augmented.
And
as
Winston.
In cyborg.
And Winston was a Ghostbuster, and ghosts are against Catholicism as well.
And Jameis is basically James with an I in it, like an iRobot.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Or King James.
That's right, the original word. So he spaketh. He will walk with circuits upon the field of doke.
And there's this other angle where you can see the pass interference call from the moon. And you can't actually see a flag because you're too far away. Why won't they show that?
Don't even need to show it. Moon landings are faked.
It doesn't fit the narrative, Jason.
It doesn't fit the media narrative. The SEC, or should I say, is in FSU's pocket, despite all the other conspiracy theories in the world. Everyone wants FSU to win now, and nobody wants to make money off Notre Dame being on TV.
More like Jameson, Kirk.
I mean, this thing goes deep, and then you just keep digging another layer and another layer and another layer. It's a veritable...
It's a bullshit trifle.
It's a veritable swaddling nautilus of a scandal, just taking its multi-chambered self along the seas of the internet, scuttling along the bottom, looking for the truth.
And so
the
many tentacles.
The seas of the Atlantic coast.
Are there seas in the Atlantic coast?
Yeah, there are two. ACC, listen.
C and C, as in...
Music Factory.
Mm-hmm, as in Music Factory. As in the factories of the Midwest. As in the Target, gonna make you sweat, taking the proletariat, putting them in little boxes, turning them into robots before you actually turn them into robots. It all comes back to the gnomes of Zurich, just milking us for our human capital.
The factory,
folks, the Matrix is real.
The factory makes music, The Music of My Heart by Gloria Estefan, who is from Florida.
Florida.
Mm-hmm. Again, we're back to fluoridation. It's not just a chemical process. It's a way of subverting everything we know about human liberty.
Also, I want you to pay attention to this. The college football official, the referee, which colors does he wear in his garb?
Oh, that'd be white and black.
White and black, traditionally the two colors most opposed, often used in religion and in symbology in ancient art, because they didn't have other colors as early as the 1940s, when Notre Dame was the greatest football team of all, and now the lack of color is angry at Notre Dame because there's color now.
White and black also connected to the newspaper industry, which does not want Notre Dame to succeed, because they know that money goes to the television networks and hurts newspaper distribution.
This all comes back to AM radio. The real voice of this country. That's why that flag was thrown.
It's actually CB radio. It's the voice of this country. But
so yeah, they lost that game primarily because Jameis Winston was really awesome down the stretch and Notre Dame turned the ball over. That's pretty conspiratorial when you hand the ball to the other team.
Well, kind of. It could be. If you're in cahoots with the other team.
Oh, my God.
It goes even deeper.
Everyone is involved.
Brian Kelly is in on it. Do you think Jimbo Fisher is the only one who's not in on what's happening here?
Hey, man. Jimbo just wants you to know he's a good man.
did we just find another Pop-Tart in this package? I think we did. Thought it was all foil, but nope, one more in there. One more layer we can go down in this conspiracy.
It's not fresh, but we're going to eat it.
I think that's enough talk about Notre Dame for a lifetime, really.
For the next 3 or 4 years, at least.
They're a very good football team. They just happened to lose. I don't think they should be punished for that. Conventional opinion. There. I would put them in the playoff today. They would be my 4 spot. I believe we disagree on this, right?
Oh yeah, quite a bit.
Yeah, you wouldn't put them in.
Hell no. No. I mean, they haven't really done anything. Their best achievement is blowing out Michigan.
Syracuse.
Oh my God, that's a quality win. Florida State beat that team too.
Syracuse.
Man, the number of people trying to make bank off of Syracuse. Like, there's really
it's like everyone's third best win.
It's what Syracuse is like when you don't have enough to fill out your resume and you're like, other interests. I beat Syracuse.
I belong to the Beat Syracuse Club.
Oh,
high school. Syracuse. It was kind of like FCA.
I am trained in WordPerfect and Syracuse.
Syracuse is the one really shady investment that every single bank has that they want to try to hide, right? Like, oh, look here, you've got Shyster Corp in your profile. No, we certainly don't. Do you guys have Shyster Corp?
What?
It's 4:30. It's true. It's time for let's go get a beer, Bob. Let's not talk
it's
about
kind of,
art.
Syracuse is kind of like at a, like a fast food joint. There's like the value size, which makes it bigger, and then like the Syracuse size.
Yeah.
Don't order the Syracuse size.
But anything else from this weekend before we move on? Because this weekend was fairly light. Florida did play Mizzou. That was where I was at. It was bad. I don't know if I need to talk anymore about that or if anyone ever needs to talk about that game ever again.
There was Baylor, West Virginia, which the game that was the officiating was so abominable that Fox's Mike Pereira, former official himself, was waving the rule book on television.
That may be because that's my favorite broadcasting moment of the year so far.
Yeah, it's definitely the best of the week. It's one of the best of the year. He was so flustered that he held up the rule book as if to say,
I'm not crazy.
Yeah, I'm looking at this with my eyes. I cannot believe what I'm seeing. And then Baylor's SID was fined $1,000 by the conference for apparently retweeting people who were critical of the officiating.
Including me. Which I think, that's Heath Nielsen, which, by the way,
I think they can come fine us all for that.
Heath is not real punk rock. That's one of the funniest things in the world because Heath is this like nice Mormon dude, okay, who will not say a bad word and is not mean about anything. He's perfectly nice. And during that game, he turned into he was a one man insurrection against this crew. And I would help him pay that fine.
Like I have a question.
Sure.
Would not the most gangster thing to do as a conference not be to say, hey, coaches, et cetera, if you talk about the officials, we'll fine you, but to just say, you know what? Say whatever you want. We're not doing shit.
Yeah, speak your shit.
Yeah, I think they need to – this is what they need to do. I really fully believe that for 5 minutes after every single game, you put a clock up. You hit the timer, and you just get to say whatever shit you want to say for 5 minutes. That's
the free
it.
Speech zone.
It's your vent zone, right? We're just like, okay, here, hot take, go, boom, and you make that premium content on your school's website.
You can like utter the original name of God. You can drop like Barack Obama's BlackBerry password.
You can draw a picture of Muhammad on the wall if you want.
They can't do anything to you. The Big 12 conference can't fine you for drawing a picture of Muhammad.
Right. You just want to get up there and say everything that comes to mind. We just have this five-minute period where everybody turns off the mics, right, except for one camera, and that's what the dude does. Just goes up there and unloads everything. Can you imagine the hellfire that Mark D'Antonio could have rained down a couple of times after losses?
Can you imagine Paul Johnson just staring at the camera for 5 minutes?
The camera would die. The cameraman would just shut off.
The cameraman runs away.
It's not like Baylor is halal anyway, so.
Yeah, I mean, just let it go. Just give them 5 minutes. Let them have their 5 minutes of hate. And after that, we're like, we all cool? We all civil? Okay, great. Awesome. See?
Delicious.
Do that, schools. Everything else you do is dumb.
God, we should run everything. It would collapse within a year.
I've been saying.
Listen, what makes you think the people in charge are doing any better?
we would forget essential things like... It would be like, oh, you have to pay the water bill at a stadium? Oh, I did not know that.
Well, you don't have to.
You know, you don't have to. Michigan sells it.
Michigan's trying. Listen. Michigan's already provided the what to not do guide.
Yeah, UCF ran out of water when they opened their stadium. Come on. People have already screwed this up. You make up a mistake. I will tell you that it's already happened.
Literally, anything that could go wrong in this sport already has.
Even the electric bill. Yeah, Super Bowl.
Exactly.
So.
Like, man, what kind of amateur jackholes wouldn't have the lights working during a big event? Oh, yeah, how about the NFL?
It was a bowl game. Oh, which one? The Magic Jack Bowl? Oh no, it was a slightly bigger one.
Think of it as a super one. Like a super-sized bowl, if you will.
Oh, man.
Was in Louisiana.
I know it's not on our agenda, but are we going to talk about the Zaxby's Heart of Hearts Bowl?
Now's the time.
We're going to answer a few reader questions. We're going to do two rounds tonight. First round of reader mail. Ryan, I want you to go first with your question. These are from Twitter.com.
These are from real Twitter users that are not porn bots.
Probably not porn bots.
All right. This first one comes from at porn bot. No, this comes from at Wazoo RC, Ryan Coffey. He wants to know, which team would have the best possible live mascot? And in his example, he says, I vote a living Stanford tree. I think if anything is possible, the answer has to be UAB, because then they have a goddamn dragon.
Or they just have like a sport coat.
That would also be, if they had a living sport coat.
Mm-hmm. Dragon in a sport
coat. Oh, yeah. Then you got an invisible man kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
which that kind of explains UAB.
Yeah. I like that.
An empty moving sport coat.
Hey, a much improved UAB team, sir.
Yeah. They beat Western Kentucky, Brian.
Yeah. That's Brian Brome's Western Kentucky.
Why am I in trouble now?
Bobby Petrino left that program.
You go to hell, Ryan Nan. Or you take UAB's name out of your mouth, because it'll probably cause an infection.
Don't ever mention UAB again.
God, I can never go back to Birmingham.
Oh, shucks. Jason, your question.
Let's see here. God damn it. This happens every week.
I'll go if you haven't found it.
No, I have it. It's just my damn browser.
That's right. That's right. Here. No, I'm just gonna save things again. Here we go. What rapper? This is from Van Newell of Twitter.com. Van Newell asks, what rapper would make an awesome, terrible, awesomely terrible S&C coach, as in strength and conditioning coach? I am going to say that that you're probably thinking the first answer is DMX.
And no, not at all.
No, you don't think so? Okay.
No.
Because I would think that would be, most people would just leap directly to DMX. And I'm not going to go with Earl. I don't think Earl's the one who I think would have the right combination of literally awe-inspiring and also terrible. Based on what I've seen from like FCS-level strength coaches, I'm going to go with Bone Crusher.
Oh my God, you stole my goddamn answer.
Yes! One brain! I just incepted you. It feels so good.
Who the hell thinks of Bone Crusher?
Because he looks like a lot of strength and conditioning coaches. He's just a giant, fat dude who can probably get, you know, a pretty impressive 2-rep squat out.
Okay, but if I have to go, since you took Bone Crusher, I would go with Freeway.
Snatch the dishes out of that kitchen. Freeway would be pretty good. I would also go ahead and vouch for, I think, Manny Fresh, just because I want that voice. I mean, he's deliriously unfit. He's an extremely unfit man.
Now, this is awesomely terrible, right?
Yeah.
Like somebody who, if they yelled, you'd be like, oh, I got to work out harder.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So I'm going to go Mace. Just because, like, the highest volume his voice has ever reached is about the level we're speaking right now.
Yeah, he can't get excited. Hey, man, you need to lift that bench. You need to get that bench up. Come on.
Yeah. Lift that bench.
Let me see you squat them hips.
Now he was a preacher for a while, in between stints with as Murder Mace in G-Unit. I'm not sure which job he has right now, murdering or preaching.
It's both.
But at no point in there has his voice ever approached within 100 decibels of strength and coordinator level.
He would be the worst get back coach for sure.
Now, if I actually...
I don't know. That sounds like a Mace ad lib.
Yeah.
Get back. We're going to get a penalty.
That's what Bad Boy Records has been for 20 years now.
Yeah, we'll get it back.
I had to pick this, though. Like, if I actually had to pick a rapper who would do the job, Flo Rida. Flo Rida's jacked. Dude is big. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure he could put... If he did nothing else, he could put some weight. He'd put some decent weight on your players.
I think you look at him and you think, oh, I got to look like that guy. I'll do whatever he tells me to do. And also, like, you know, he'll just sing or something. And then you're feeling good and you want to work out.
Yeah, but you know who used to look like that? Busta Rhymes.
Yeah, he was the first name that came to mind for me.
God damn.
The energy, the fact that somewhere within him is a really strong man that is no longer there.
So buried.
It's deep.
Yeah. Deep. There's a conspiracy within Busta Rhymes' body, and it's fatness. That's,
And that fatness threw a flag against Notre Dame.
That fatness actually threw two flags in Baylor, West Virginia, because everyone threw a flag in that game. Jason, your question.
All right, it's joined us now. This comes to us from Chris Jensen, Chris F. Jensen. Please say the F on Twitter. I was listening to a Notre Dame-centric podcast. They claim teams in the South cheat. Is this true?
Well, congratulations on owning a gramophone.
Yeah, first of all, I'm...
For all Notre Dame.
News from the Eastern Front. Our boys.
I just see Notre Dame.
Our boys in the Southland.
I see Notre Dame playing Bioshock and going, where is this place?
Band of... And then they'd use some Native American slur to describe FSU.
Down in the Weewaw Hawkin drum beating tom tom territory of Tallahassee. Something like that.
Booted right out of the football World Series. But to answer the question, yes, teams in the South cheat. This, you know, our Notre Dame counterpart out there, if we could beam this message out like the Voyager spacecraft message, you know, in a few light years it'll reach you. Yes, teams in the South cheat. Yes, Notre Dame cheats too. And thank you for joining us on, you know, Planet College Football.
What I'm worried about is that Notre Dame fans, when they say, oh, they cheat, like they're only getting the tip of the iceberg.
Also, can I just point out the rich irony of saying, well, teams in the South cheat. Yeah, because you know how many other historical advantages Southern educational institutions have, period, in anything at all.
Shrubbery.
Yeah.
Teaching the controversy.
Those, mm-hmm. Yeah, those entomology departments have a head start because we got bugs.
The body farm.
Mm, yeah, true. Tennessee's got plenty of bodies. Florida too, by the way. Florida's forensic anthropology program tops in the nation thanks to the abundance of dead bodies used in criminal cases. That's actually accurate. That's not a lie.
It's a natural resource.
Death is the only way we know we're alive.
Just remember, Florida literally, as an educational institution, two great specialties are death and taxes, literally.
Mm-hmm. That's why we were English majors.
That's why we weren't smart enough to be in death or taxes.
And you know what your bowl game is named? The Tax Slayer.
It's the apex of all things Florida Gator right there.
I will kill you with taxes!
Will Muschamp's greatest moment is literally the intersection of the axes of death and taxes, the taxslayer.com poll.
And like them, he is constant.
Yeah, he is constant and deplored.
He remains the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Let's go to, we've answered questions. I want to go ahead and get to a rare thing. I want to say good things about teams.
Okay. Like real teams or imaginary?
No, real college football teams. For instance, and my sort of ugly duckling team outperforming the standards that you might have for a team that's replacing so many people and playing a pretty difficult schedule, and someone who, yes, might beat Notre Dame down the stretch and thus become far more lovable than they already are. That'd be Arizona State, having just an outstanding year, with one little hiccup.
A slight ass whipping.
Well, you know, that was Bercovici's first real start, coming in relief. I didn't really think that. You know, I don't think that's indicative of what they're really capable of. You know. I don't want to say it's Bercovici's first start. Bercovici did play against Colorado. I don't know if that counts.
No, that's a scrimmage.
Yeah, but Bercovici did get a full... His first real start was against UCLA, which they lost 62-27.
Yeah, but that was UCLA's, like, two games a year that are good so that other people who don't watch a whole UCLA season can say, oh, that's a top 25 team.
That was the one where UCLA used up all its nitrous at once and then, like... during the game, the broadcasters who had the rights to, I guess, Fox, the guys who had the rights to that conference were saying, they've answered all questions and shunned all doubters and murdered all haters. And then they, you know, lost two games.
Like any good pyramid scheme, you can't just take somebody's money and never give them anything. You have to feed them a little bit so that they think it's a successful, legitimate enterprise. And the Arizona State game was UCLA being like, hey, man, we already made you $150. Here you go.
Yeah, thanks. Here, get your beak wet. Here, take a little bit of that.
Already this has turned into talking shit, so this has gone pretty badly.
So what we're saying is that this was sort of a comped room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
kind of gets us back to Arizona State, because if there's any coach who knows anything about staying somewhere for one night
and getting that room paid for.
That's right.
It's Todd Grant. But yeah, there's a lot of things to like about this team. DJ Foster, the running back. I think both quarterbacks have been outstanding. In limited play for Taylor Kelly due to injury, but you know Mike Bercovici has been just incredible thus far in terms of just coming in and not really letting up from the previous level of production.
Mike Bercovici from the same town as Dan Rubenstein.
Calabasas?
Yeah.
Is he from Horsetown, California?
Horsetown, L.A.
Wow.
Shout out Doc and Jelly.
Yeah. Additionally, by the way, you know, Jalen Strong, outstanding wide receiver. Really fun to watch. The defense has been, I mean, it's...
They have one.
It has been.
It
has been. And also...
And it will be.
Also, they made a game against Stanford relatively watchable, which is a Herculean feat, and pulled off one of my favorite games already of the year, snatching one of the worst defense Hail Marys ever from the hands of USC in Los Angeles for a 38-34 win at the Bell. So, yay Arizona State coming up. They've got a chance to ruin a lot of people's seasons because they get to play Utah, Notre Dame, and Arizona at the end of the year. So, taking them from a potential one-loss team to a two-loss team. One of those teams that they're just a good spoiler. They're just going to make things messy for someone, and I respect that deeply. Jason.
Speaking of a little school by the name of Utah, that is my selection here. They've played in four memorable games so far this year. They went to Michigan and beat the shit out of Michigan, hold on. Bear with me. There's a little bit more to it. This was the game where...
There's literally no more to it.
No. This was not your run-of-the-mill going to Ann Arbor and beating the shit out of Michigan. The rains came down, the Michigan fans left, and the Utah fans from probably a million or so miles away took over the big house. Maybe 3,000 of them there were the only people in the whole building. So that's pretty good. That's pretty fun. They had, for the people who like the crazy Pac-12 ball, they had the game against Washington State where they led, I believe Washington State, I think it was a 21-point comeback to take that one. So that's an entertaining loss. Took down UCLA in a fun game, and then last Friday night had an overtime game against Oregon State. So there's four fun, memorable games right there. This is a team that their front seven is one of the best in the country, at least against awful offensive lines such as Michigan's and UCLA's and Washington State's and damn every team they've played. but the fun part here is
you're not really making the case here, but go ahead.
Well, the question is whether they can keep this up as their schedule gets a whole hell of a lot tougher. They've got Oregon and the Arizona schools still to go and so forth, USC up this week. But, you know, at the moment, they're averaging, I believe it's 11 tackles per loss per game, where the next closest is like 9.5. So if you like rampaging defense that doesn't just give up a little bit of yards and then shut it down. This isn't an Alabama kind of thing. This is defense that they get a tackle for a loss, they give up 50 yards. They get a tackle for a loss, they get a touchdown. Something happens on every play. When they're on offense, just go ahead and change the channel. I'm not even going to try to sell you on Utah's offense. I think they're 75th in yards per play.
They're fundamental.
55th in passer rating.
They're a deeply fundamental team.
Well, on offense, there's no fundamentals at all. And on defense, I wouldn't describe it as fundamental. It's just this balls to the wall, all or nothing kind of thing going on. So Utah on defense is my pick.
I'm impressed with your commitment to that and respect it deeply, even though I really have watched this team and they're pretty much just a hammer, just a set of hammers. That's it. That's all they can do.
Yeah, but that's all they choose to do.
that's all they choose. You know, Will Muschamp just chooses to do that. It's just what he likes to do. He can put out 50 points a game.
Does Will choose, or does he just continue along a timeline?
The box chooses. he has a small box full of Uno cards, and that's what chooses for him.
You know, Brett Bielema's draw two.
Draw two. Will's this year was Skip.
Skip. As in Holtz, our also next head coach.
Yep. Also reverse.
Nope. There's no reverse Holtz.
Yeah, there's no reverse.
Louisiana Tech and UNC have both learned that. USF, sorry.
It's true. You can't undo Holtz. Once you get it, you got it. It's like herpes. Ryan.
Or shingles, really.
Yeah, or shingles. Or Will Muschamp. your pick for a team you actually like and want to talk about.
So I'm bad at this. So I chose Minnesota.
You idiot.
I just told you I was bad at it.
There are a lot of teams.
There are a lot of teams.
How many? Like 12?
At least.
It's
a John Boyce fact.
Okay, hold on. Let me try. What I like about Minnesota is that Minnesota is not good, but they don't let that stop them.
That's true.
Minnesota is 6-1 and is leading their division in the Big Ten, and they have done it without being good. Like, all right, they are a good defense. On offense, they have given up on passing the ball entirely.
They have a really good running back.
Air Force has thrown 120 passes this year in 7 games. Minnesota has thrown 121.
Oh, so they take to the skies less than Air Force. You're going to hold that against them.
Like, they have accepted their weaknesses. It's admirable in a way.
I do think it's admirable. If you especially, actually, go ahead.
Well, I just think if you compare them to the rest of the teams in the Big Ten West, they're certainly the most lovable there, other than the sexy Hawkeyes. I will say.
And they their next two games, they have Illinois and Iowa, and they can beat those teams and be 8-1.
Anyone could.
And this is what's going to happen. We're going to be in the middle of November, and people will have to seriously talk about 8-1 crap ass Minnesota as a playoff threat.
And when they start looking through the statistical profiles to sort of go, well, I haven't watched much of this team.
Right.
Let's see what they do well. And the answer is going to be
Yeah, the answer is Tim Allen noise.
Yeah, offensively, do you want to know offensively who they're sort of on peer with in terms of like overall S&P?
It's not good.
These are the people, 3 spots to either side, and in the table: Cincinnati, Memphis, Arkansas State, UL Lafayette, Purdue, and Northern Illinois. You know who's right below? Florida.
Oh, Jesus. But the last thing, good thing I will say about Minnesota, they are helping TCU make a case as a good one-loss team for the playoff. Because right now it looks like TCU blew out a one-loss Big Ten team. And while that is true, it is also entirely false.
124th in overall passing offense.
That's right, because fuck it.
They're below Georgia Tech.
Let me put it this way. If I told you Florida was going to pass the ball 12 times a game, and that was it, they were committing to not more than 12 passes, would you think that was a positive development?
Yeah, I would, actually.
Okay, then you like Minnesota. Congratulations.
Yeah, that's awesome. And their coach can't tell black guys apart. Jerry Kill actually, he just was going to shake everyone's hand until he got to to Purdue's head coach.
You can't believe everything you see on Vine.
It's the head snap that made it particularly. It wasn't like he said, well, oh, hey, Daryl Hazel, and then he sort of moved on. No, no, no. He thought it was Daryl Hazel, and the guy pointed, and he did the double take in case that wasn't unslick enough. Like,
It was well filmed. It was well filmed, and it was the timing was well done. It's a good Vine.
It's a good Vine, and Jerry Kill might have just walked up to somebody and thought he was Daryl Hazel. And
the sun was in his eyes.
Yeah, to be fair, you know, I'm face blind too, so that's why everybody needs to wear name tags all the time.
Especially Purdue coaches.
Dude, cut him some slack there. I mean, I had to think for a minute before remembering Daryl Hazel, okay?
Listen, racist, but all Purdue coaches look alike.
I mean,
you would say that.
You've seen the Purdue media guide. It looks like they went to Kinko's and said, what is the cheapest?
It's
stapled.
No, I brought my own stapler. I don't need to pay you for that.
That's my favorite thing. The only worthwhile thing at Big Ten Media Days every year is, well, the questions. They run out of questions for Kirk Ferentz, and then they put up pictures of the Purdue, and I think Wisconsin also. Their media guys are just like a manila folder.
We're going to need that alligator clip back. We're Purdue.
It's like, why did I have to peel off the perforated sides? What did you print this on?
By the way, like, I could have gone, I really actually could have gone and said Purdue here. Like, I know you chose.
Stop it.
It just because at least, like.
Stop it.
They're not as.
You're just trying to make Ryan feel better.
They're not as bad.
Don't do that. Don't. Stop it right now.
All right, I'll stop.
They're not as bad as they were last year. Well, nobody is.
I mean, they beat the hell out of Syracuse, but.
How has Syracuse played so many games?
Syracuse is, I mean, and why of all teams to play 24 games in a college football season?
Syracuse is just scoffing at NCAA rules right now. Those athletes are exhausted. No wonder they keep losing.
The Barnstorming Orangemen of Syracuse. They'll play anywhere, anytime.
Anywhere.
They're not tired.
All of the times.
They're hard-nosed, baby.
Oh yeah, they're New Yorkers.
Lloyd Carr probably recommended Scott Schaefer for head coach at Michigan. He probably did. He probably actually was like, "Oh, he's a fine coach. I'm doing a great job here. Just a tremendous job."
And you know what? He's probably going to get that job next year.
Man, you know, mass suicide is something I never wanted to experience, or much less write about. It's part of my job. But if that happened, let's. To answer the rest of our mailbag here before we pack it up and talk about next week, I'm going to start with one from Standard Definition. Goes by @BlackCharles on Twitter. How many cheese slices would you eat to see Muschamp fired at halftime of the cocktail party? How many you got? I'm committed to the cause.
I don't know how many there are.
I don't know. I would eat them until I had no more to eat. That if it meant halftime. So we're talking however many I can eat in 30 minutes of football time. Yeah.
30 minutes of CBS football time.
Oh, so 7 hours.
Two and a half hours or so.
Yeah, so 2.5 hours of CBS. Do I get to pause during the commercial breaks? Because if I do, that's a lot of breaks. I could use them.
I don't think that's stipulated.
Okay, no, I just have to keep eating. Okay, fine. That's it. Whatever you want me to eat, however you want me to do it. I'll puke through the whole thing if it would lead
fit right in.
If it would lead to the literal like go, like the arm extended pointing toward the door, right? Like Muschamp has to just walk out of the stadium.
Like a Monty Python thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like the big god arm comes down from the sky, right? You're out of here. I would do it.
Yeah, you should write about it and put it on our website.
Yeah, you know what? I think we got some content tomorrow. I'll put that right in the acrostical. Jason, your final question.
This comes to us from Craig Barker, CD Barker, at the website Twitter. Which school has the most teams that consider them their primary rivals? There's not a whole lot funny about this, but I picked it because it got me thinking. When we think about primary rivals, we're not just talking about, oh, Notre Dame has like 85 rivals, including Florida State, whom they lost to fair and square, and the whole world saw it, and all that. You know, Notre Dame's primary rivals, I think USC considers Notre Dame their primary rival, but that's probably about it. And then, you know, you have schools like Texas with A&M and Oklahoma, and then USC probably, you know, there's UCLA and there's Notre Dame. And I think there's a bunch of schools would have two, usually like the big state school that has the little brother and also someone else from across, from a different state. The only one I can think of is Oklahoma with Texas, Oklahoma State, and Nebraska. I would think all three of those would consider Oklahoma their primary rival. Unless there's some like MAC thing I don't know about where like everyone hates Central Michigan. I think it's Oklahoma.
What is that? Can you think of a team that has no rival, that is just alone, like is the manatee of college football and has no natural predator?
Syracuse.
It's incorrect. Syracuse rival is greatness. And Syracuse has won 50
Syracuse
matchups.
A 17-year losing streak to greatness.
I would say LSU.
Like, does Wake Forest have – well, LSU has Arkansas, don't they?
LSU,
well,
no, they I think they actually – like, this is going back to Jason's question. I think they have potential strong, like, super rivalries with – in the past decade, Alabama, like because LSU-Bama is a huge game. They Ole Miss definitely considers them to be like I think their primary peer rival. Even though LSU, I don't think considers them peer. Ole Miss is like, yeah, we're about the same.
Yeah, we're basically LSU. We play on Halloweens.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas with Miss State, they have that little brother thing where they're like the power relations up in Starkville. We don't regard them as even the same class of person.
Yeah, that's the dynamic. Like,
yeah,
it's there's the three-tiered social hierarchy right there, and then LSU, they're kind of just like fuck everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, like they hate Alabama right now, but I don't think any LSU fan would say Alabama is, you know, our primary historical rival.
I think from an external viewpoint, there's at least four schools that consider LSU to be like probably a prime rival, whereas LSU internally is basically like France. They're like, oh, in a nuclear war, we just fire missiles at everyone. Screw y'all.
LSU, I would say they would have Ole Miss and Tulane would be the two that would consider them the rival. But otherwise, it's just, oh, yeah, we kind of hate LSU.
Yeah, I can't think of anybody else. Oklahoma is probably the best answer there.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Way
Stanford,
to go.
Stanford has a shot. Because they've got Notre Dame, not necessarily the primary rival, but
well,
certainly
then disqualified.
Okay, but they have a more that has been a more important game than the USC game in recent history. They have Cal, obviously.
That's one.
And they have Oregon.
Well, Oregon, they're going to say their top rival is Washington. If not Washington, then Oregon State.
Yeah, but Washington sucks.
You know, Tennessee, you know,
you have no sense of history. They just wore Donald Duck uniforms because that's how much they hate Washington. They don't put on cartoon characters because they hate Stanford so much.
You know, Tennessee, when they're pretty good, actually has, you know, like a claim to at least two or three.
Yeah, that's true.
They do, because those tend to be those states that are kind of in the middle of everything.
Tennessee touches 18 states. I don't know if you knew that.
Right. So, like, Tennessee obviously has, like, Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt considers them their prime rival. Tennessee's like,
Haiti.
Haiti.
A lot of Bama fans, especially North Alabama, would say Tennessee's number one.
Exactly. That's the super. Mm-hmm. That's the oldest rivalry besides Auburn with them, right? And then at one point, Tennessee-Florida was some kind of a rivalry.
Don't recall that?
Nope. But it was. I've read tale that it exists.
I would say right now it's probably one. And on average throughout history, it's it might be pushing two for Tennessee, but usually right around two.
I think Wake Forest has no rival.
There's like 18 teams in North Carolina. Surely somebody hates Wake Forest.
No, I really don't think they do.
I mean, even Florida State, when Wake Forest was beating them regularly, was still just not even acknowledging what was happening.
It's like a gnat biting you or something.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of like, I think I was trying to think of the most humiliating death in nature, like a tiny animal. It's almost like when Newman is eaten, right? When Wayne Knight is consumed in Jurassic Park, he's like, oh, I can't believe these little chicken-sized dinosaurs are eating me.
And yeah, very, very, very good. You did it.
There you go. Ryan, your last question.
This comes from John Appleseed at Ersatz. He wants to know, Muschamp gets fired, but he has to remain in your life as head coach of something. what activity would that be? Pilates coach, cooking, etc. Spencer, I want you to answer this first.
I'm not letting him coach a damn thing in my life.
You would? Come on.
No, no, not a thing. I'm not letting him. No, I don't want that near me.
You know what I would let him? Here's what I would let Will Muschamp coach. Reminding me that it's time to get a haircut. Because Will Muschamp has not done a lot at Florida. But I've never said, hey, Will Muschamp needs to get a haircut. He's on that. And it's very small. And if he screws it up, it's not a big deal. But haircut reminder, head coach. Not giving me the haircut, mind you. No, that's not happening.
No, don't give him anything sharp.
No.
I think you could put him in charge of, say, if you needed, you're doing some interior decorating, some rearranging, and you need heavy labor, like someone to punch a wall over.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Headbutt a wall over.
I would love to see Will Muschamp try to put together IKEA furniture.
I would love to hear him try to pronounce IKEA furniture.
Bjorn Florg! Poncho!
I don't know what a lack is. I don't know what a flurg is. Don't bother me with that flurg.
I ate all the Allen wrenches. I thought they were metal lollipops.
Can we, once Mimless Champ goes, can we invite him on and ask him to explain what an umlaut is?
Nope, no.
I don't want him on this podcast.
Do you know how long it took for
me and Will Muschamp are going to start our own podcast?
I would love for you to do that.
That'd and be great. It's all going to be about Notre Dame football.
That's weird. I only watch half the game because they don't pay attention to the offense. Yeah, no, it's gonna be a while. This ain't right. You know, when people are like, oh, ha ha, no. This is too fresh.
It took you how long to be cool with Ron Zook?
I had to meet him in person, and it took 8 years.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go ahead and say it's gonna take a cool 20 before Spencer can be cool with Will Muschamp.
Yeah, no. It's like when you make fun of somebody and they're like, ha ha, good joke. You're like, no. I wanted that to kill you.
Yeah, no, I meant that.
Yeah, I meant that. I meant every last word of it.
Those were live rounds.
get away. Yeah, it was a pretty intense paintball fight. What paint? Those are bullets. I meant that shit.
Oh, you're definitely getting flagged for something now.
Oh, yeah. No. we're well past that. I put my heart into this shit. Like Ed Reed.
Yeah, like Bone Crusher, you are never scared.
I'm never scared and a little winded. Just like Bone Crusher. This is, I think we're calling this week Go to Hell Week, right? This is Go to Hell Week. This whole week can just go to hell.
In honor of LSU, which does not care at all about rival Ole Miss, but has a chant about Ole Miss. Figure that one out. Go to hell week.
We don't care at all, you bastards, you shitbirds.
Die in hell, rot for all eternity in the fires of Hades. We don't care about you at all.
That's how much we don't care. I keyed your car because I don't care.
Make out!
the schedule this week, this whole schedule can go to hell. For instance, BYU at Boise State, go to hell for not being a better game.
Nope.
Dang it. South Florida at Cincinnati, go to hell on principle. Because, man, who's watching that?
Thursday night and go right to hell. First of all, Virginia Tech was invited back, and also UConn is here.
You know, seriously, UConn, go. At least UConn goes to hell politely. Whew. They're like, I'm going to run 40 plays. Get out of here.
UConn goes to – they go to the hell that is trying to win at East Carolina.
Yeah. Oh, boy. And look, the hottest game of 2003 is here. Miami at Virginia Tech. Somebody 10 years ago when they booked this was like, man, it's just going to sizzle.
I'm going to say go to hell to Oregon Cal for kicking off at 10 p.m. East Coast time. The night before, everyone has to be up for 15 fucking hours.
Miami-Virginia Tech is that picture of you in your, like, 1994 prom tux that you're like, oh, man, I can't believe I thought this looked good. I look like a blackjack dealer.
Oh, and if this Oregon Cal game goes what I think it will,
oh, it's God.
Oregon's going to get out like 42-0 on them, and Cal's going to score like 38 points.
And it won't end until 5 in the morning.
It won't end until 5 in the morning.
And you'll stay up to watch the whole thing.
Damn thing. Because
you hate yourself.
I hate myself and want to watch Pac-12 football until 5 in the morning. Not die. No worries.
Oh, but the good news is you can sleep through the entirety of the noon slate. There is not one game worth watching. On the best hope you have is Texas at Kansas State.
Oh, you know, no, you know,
and
what I'm
Texas
watching.
Barely beat Iowa State.
Yeah, Texas is losing this game, son. They're losing this game like 17-13.
Also, barely beating Iowa State was Kansas State. So there you go.
So remember, Iowa State's not there to win. They're just there to make people worried. There, yeah. That's it. They're just
they're a stress test.
They are. They're just anxiety. They're just the living embodiment of anxiety in the Big 12.
Iowa State is the football check engine signal.
If you lose to them, you're like, well, man, I better get this sheen in the shop. I would also argue too that, by the way, the game I'm going to watch, I will put it on. I'll watch ESPN or ESPN News at noon as Memphis at SMU because I just want to see the bizarre side of Memphis beating the unholy crap out of anyone.
Jesus, what's wrong with you?
I know, but Memphis, I just want to see something good happen to them. They've had a pretty good year. They're vastly improved, and I kind of just want to see them beat someone's ass for once instead of being the ass BT. I'm not saying I'm going to watch the whole game, but a good 15 minutes of them just running the same play over and over again for huge gains on SMU.
Now I have an even greater optical illusion for you, if you like that. Just wait till you see this. At the same time slot, UNC at Virginia, which means you get to watch Virginia score 65 points.
I don't believe that.
No. They're playing North Carolina.
Okay,
they're gonna
score
65 points.
Yep, I believe it.
Come on and raise up. Take your shirt off. You might as well play naked because your defense sucks.
Wave your shirt. You might knock down a pass.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Take your shirt off. Throw it in a face mask. He might think he's blind. Maybe he'll hold up for a second so you and eight people can try to tackle him.
Defensive coordinator Petey Pablo rehired at North Carolina.
Hey, what he
contract extension.
Would he do any worse than what they got going on?
Nope.
Just ask yourself that. Next time block, by the way. Moving on to that. Yeah, go to hell this weekend.
Just go to hell, all of it.
Go to hell. Georgia Tech Pitt, go to hell. No one's watching that
Dear
crap.
God.
Michigan, okay. Michigan State.
Yeah,
I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch Michigan State.
I am
so excited about this.
How happy was Michigan to not be on last week? Just to not have to do Michigan.
Not have to be and do Michigan things. They had to be pretty happy. I'm going to be pretty happy this weekend not having to do Florida things, honestly.
Michigan's only on ABC.
It's only the Big 3:30 game.
They're against the SEC CBS game, which has Kentucky in it. So America will be watching Kentucky.
Serious question. How many Michigan fans? This game is at Michigan State. How many Michigan fans are going to be at this game?
They'll travel pretty well. They really will. It's not far. So
right, but why?
Yeah, I don't think distance is the
it's just loyalty and stupidity.
You drove all the way down to Gainesville for the fucking Mizzou game. So what do I know?
I know. Like, they'll be there. They'll be there for love. I will also say there's a real satisfaction in being there for the grim end. It's kind of really like if you're one of the last 10,000 in the stadium or 5,000 in the stadium when your team has hit probably the lowest low and your brave punter and his friend, the sidekick, the offensive lineman, go over to sing the alma mater, you're the one who maybe when things are better can go back and say, please, you should enjoy this because I remember when my stupid coach made us lose to Missouri by putting in a quarterback who honestly might have been playing like with, I don't know. We'll find out that Jeff Driscoll was like blind.
PTSD, yeah.
Yeah, something. We'll find out.
That's not far-fetched.
No,
no,
really
not at all.
No, he might like be like, oh, wow, look, the footage shows that he was wearing an eye patch. Nobody noticed.
How did we not see it?
How did we not see that? Oh, look, he was playing with live bees in his helmet. Because Will Muschamp thought it would make him one with nature.
And several dead bees.
And several, several dead bees, which he swallowed.
Well, helmets get really hot.
They do. They do. If you want to see a quality beatdown, I mean a serious ass beating beatdown, Texas Tech and TCU. Woo, man. Horned Frog's going to wear Cliff Kingsbury's skin like a jacket. Gary Patterson's going to be like, does this make me look pretty? Yeah, yeah, Gary, it does. Scaring the shit out of me.
I'd fuck me.
Yeah. Thank you for that visual. We just took him to Buffalo Bill. So happy that happened. Lastly, to clean up the schedule here, Alabama at Tennessee. If you also for a sequel to that Silence of the Lambs remake, Ole Miss at LSU. Go to hell, Ole Miss. Go to hell, LSU. Whole game can go to hell.
Go to hell.
Yeah, this is one of those games where I think Les will make it more interesting than it has to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's his role.
Yeah. I think Ole Miss wins, though, because that defense is they're just obscene. Absolutely obscene. And then the Cappers, Ohio State at Penn State. This is all a bunch of games that would have been like, this would have been an awesome schedule like 6 years ago. Right? 6 or 7 years ago, you would have thought, oh, this is a pretty good game. Yeah, no.
Yeah, Ole Miss would have had a Houston Nutt.
Yeah, no. Let's see. 6 years ago? No, man. I think I'm dipping into Orgeron there. Let's just move that up a little bit.
Have we gone that far back?
Yeah.
Man, we're
getting old, son. USC at Utah, USC at Utah is a quality game. That's not bad.
You say that, but then it won't.
Now we like Utah.
Oh, we like Utah. We like to make fun of you liking Utah. And Arizona State.
Oh, okay, I get it.
Oh, and of course, the Pac-12's most exciting team, Arizona State at Washington.
Also, speaking of the contrary of that game, Arizona Washington State earlier in the day. So we're going to find the definitive best state at crazy football between those two.
Just Mike Leach out there flipping coins, but gotta win one eventually.
Mike Leach, Rich Rod, Todd Graham, and Chris Peterson. Like, one of these dudes just does not belong here. Chris Peterson, are you sure you're cut out for this level of crazy?
Yeah.
Guys.
Doesn't one of you just want to come to a more sober league, someplace further east, like, say, the University of Florida?
I have good news that will save this rotten carcass of a week, and that is we have a home game at Hawaii.
What time does it kick off?
Midnight.
Yes. It's Nevada at Hawaii, and as I'm looking right here on the schedule, it says Mountain West Conference Video Oceanic, which is OC Sports, which means we get the god Robert Kakala on the call.
Bone crusher!
I'm going to pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket.
That's not bone crusher.
No, it will be. Bone Crusher's doing his greatest hits. It's a bonus track.
So he's just gonna appropriate macrame? That's mind blowing right there. I'm gonna start a blog about that.
I want to hear your think piece on Robert Kakala and Bone Crusher adopting the music of Macklemore.
Next thing you're gonna tell me is Iggy Azalea showing up at Minnesota Golden Gophers games and appropriating their dances. Oh wait, that happened this weekend too.
Did she use a Minnesota accent that she'd carefully honed?
That was the part I was listening closely for. I couldn't detect it. I couldn't tell whether she was using her Australia accent or her, like, I'm selling crack in the trap accent. But
I would like to withdraw my positive words about Minnesota.
I didn't want to bring it up earlier, but.
Yeah, go Gophers. Wow, Iggy.
Amazing. How does she do that? She's so good at accents.
She's so good. It's like she's some sort of C-3PO in bike shorts.